So welcome everyone to another episode of 90 Day React Bubbles and Banter, episode 7 of season 11, The Price of Love. So we find out that the price of love, it could either be 15 cows, according to Joan, or part-time homeless, according to Sarper, prenup, according to Jordan, and forgetting the past, according to Sean and Aaliyah. What did you think about the episode?
Let me pull up my notes. Okay. I had thoughts. Who do you want to start with, I guess? I should ask.
Shagana and Sarper.
Okay. I was dying of laughter at this French baguette. He kept calling him that.
Yeah. Is he French or is he from somewhere else?
I don't know if there's anything else I want to share about the beginning of that episode because it kind of culminated in some. It was kind of boring,
right?
For those two until the end.
Uh-huh.
But I was surprised that Sarper was holding back. I know he was showing restraint because that's what Shekinah wanted, but like that's a moment to not show restraint, not to go crazy. But like, I think he could have gone a little harder than he did. You know, maybe it was good that he played it kind of cool, but
right.
He was saying really inflammatory stuff. Like anybody else would be like flipping a table and like losing it. So I was surprised, and I was surprised that Shekinah was being kind of like playful about it.
Right.
Shekinah. Ever since you said that, now
I'm like, I know. Can't stop thinking about it. Think about it before you
Shekinah, say it. She kind of was too playful with it. She was like, what are you saying? Stop.
Right. Yeah.
And I wanted her to really tell this guy, cut it the F out. Like, I'm not with you. I'm with this person. I love him. I'm going to marry him. And shut your mouth.
All right. We're talking about the dinner that they went to see Shekinah's friends. And she really said that, you know, these people are important to me, so behave yourself and all that. And there were like two guys, three girls. And they sit down, and right away this guy starts, what was his name, Dan or something? They had gone out, him and Shekinah had gone out previously, like many years back. So, you know, he keeps prodding, you know, Sarper, egging him on to say something. And it just, to me, it just looked like this was all production driven. They had probably told this guy, listen, as soon as they sit down, you just go at it because we want a reaction from Sarper. Because what happened is like,
then Sarper didn't even, he didn't even bite.
This guy kept going and going and nothing was happening. And then when he was finished and no reaction, he said, okay, goodbye, I'm leaving. He wasn't like he was there to hang out. He was there, you know, on a mission from Matt Sharp, you know, egg this guy on. We want to see Sarper lose his temper and do something. That's what it looked like to me. It didn't look like, you know, other friends like saying something, making comments back and forth. He wasn't like that. He would just keep going at it and trying to see at what point does Sarper get really angry and, you know, get physical or whatever, you know. And he didn't. And if it was like a few years back, Sarper would have been, you know, really pissed off and got up and did something to this guy.
I know. I wish he did. But good for him. Whatever.
Yeah, production would have loved it if Sarper did something, you know.
Yeah.
But this is the new Sarper and the part-time homeless Sarper. Yeah, you know, before that, before they go out, they have one of Shekinah's customers come over. And Shekinah says, Sarper, get out of the house. My customer is coming. So poor Sarper just leaves the house and he starts walking around the neighborhood. He's like, you know, exactly. He says, I'm part-time homeless, so what can I do? He's walking around doing nothing.
Wait, I forgot one of my favorite parts was he was like, she's, you know, talking about how she gets jealous. And he was like, you know, even if a woman comes and pulls down her shirt and shows her boobs, I look and then I go away.
No big deal.
He kept being like, I look. Like he clarified that he's going to look. I look and then I walk away.
No problem.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a look.
Yeah, he's honest. He's a very honest person, so.
Yeah. He calls, he FaceTimes his parents while he's walking around doing nothing in the area. And he tells us, you know, what's going on, you know, with his living situation. And his parents don't know anything about it. And they're surprised, you know, same way Sarper was surprised when, you know, he got to L.A. And they're worried. They're worried how this is going to end. And Sarper tells them that don't rent out my apartment there because, you know, I don't know what's going to happen here because it seems like an impossible situation. You can't cook anything there because her equipment is right there. And all you can do is sleep, watch TV, and then you're out of the house. There's not a whole lot you can do. There's no living. I mean, we didn't see any living space. There's no sofa. I didn't see a sofa. Did you? There was nothing there. It was just a bit, you know.
There was either an armchair or something downstairs, but.
Yeah, and nothing
I
else.
I guess she spends most of her time outside of her apartment because I'm a homebody. Like, I'm not leaving. If right. I don't have to leave, I'm not leaving. But that's not the type of apartment that she tired, has. So she must be out and about a lot.
You know, exactly.
Yeah.
They have to, you know, keep eating out, hanging out, you know, doing something else. Unless, you know, she says, okay, I'll have, you know, customers from 10 to 2 and then from 4 to 7, something like that, and make something out of it. Or Sarper has to think about something to do. I don't know. I don't know how this thing is going to pan out, but it's like an impossible situation.
Yeah. But honestly, beyond that and the
Yeah, this Dan guy wasn't making any sense. That's why I thought this was totally production stuff.
It was.
You know, go say, fun. You know, whatever sticks, just say it, you know, may insult him any way you can and let's see what happens. And nothing happened. And the guy says, okay, I'm done. It took like maybe 15 minutes. I don't know how long it was, you know, egging him on. And he just left. That was it. Goodbye. And nobody else said anything.
I'm done.
At all.
This isn't working. Nobody.
You know, none of the friends said anything in defense of Sarper or Dan or whatnot. They were just sitting there.
That was a bit weird.
To his credit, you know, Sarper was cool and calm. I think he was thinking about his living situation more than anything else at this point. It's like, it's not even like you're moved to another country and you still don't have your bearing right because you got to get out of the house. Like, your house is like sanctuary. And first it was your country and your home, and you left that. You're in a, you know, strange country that you ever been to for the first time. And now you can't even stay in the house. And you have to walk around, you know, do nothing. So, I don't know. They have to do either rent another place or for work or get a, you know.
Same as what we said last episode. Like, exactly. I think it would behoove her to have a separate space now that if she can afford it, which I think she can. I mean, I don't want to make assumptions.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know. I mean, she spent all this money on plastic surgery and all kinds of stuff, and she doesn't even have a car, you know, and she has this small apartment. So, are you spending all your money on, you know, cosmetic, you know, plastic surgery, or what's going on? You know, are you not making enough money? I mean, she's probably charging, I don't know, a few hundred bucks for a session for people. So I have no idea. I do not know what's going to happen.
Should we move on?
Next, we go to Mark and Minda. Mark and
Minda. Mark and Minda.
That's right. Mark and Mindy.
Okay. Now I can reference my notes because I didn't write anything.
There you go. your favorite session.
So this started where I think it was like day two on the, like, I keep wanting to say Hilton Head. It's not Hilton Head Island.
Yeah, somewhere for some else. Reason Mina was threatening to leave last episode, and this episode she was just riding along with Mark.
I think she's trying to be a good sport. Bald Head Island. Okay, I keep wanting to say Hilton Head. they meet up. Jordan is there with her boyfriend, and they end up going on a ferry and all that. But what was annoying, which is always annoying, is that they're sitting, Mina and Maria and Mark are waiting to go on to the ferry, but they're also waiting for Jordan and her boyfriend.
Right.
Jordan and her boyfriend walk up, and Mark doesn't say anything. Yeah. He's not like, hey, you know, let's just chat before we get on the ferry. You know, I know yesterday was kind of tense, but let's try to put this behind us.
When you first saw them, you know, he said hello and everything.
No, I'm saying as a group to try to ease the tension. He doesn't say anything. He just stands there. And then they get on the ferry and Jordan's like, this is awkward. This is awkward. And she's like back to back with Mina on the ferry chair. And Mark is sitting in between them like, like not doing anything, just completely silent. And then eventually Jordan works up the courage.
What to say? He has no.
He's an idiot. There's like a million. There's a million things you could say.
Right.
And Jordan finally turns around and tells Mina, "Hey, Mina, I don't know what she said exactly, but she was like, I want to make this work." And
yeah, she was we could pulling start fresh. She was pulling the knife out a little bit.
just a little
she's
bit.
Stuck it all the way in, and now she's pulling
just
it out.
Just a tiny bit.
Doesn't hurt as much.
Yeah. And Mina's like, okay, cool, great. And then Jordan grabs Maria's hand and is like, hi, Maria. It's so clear that there's this barrier between, like, I understand you're not going to rush someone's kid and pick them up and hug them and kiss them if you have problems with the mother.
Right.
But it's just so fake.
It's my stepsister.
Right? I know. Me too. But I'm saying, let me just give benefit of the doubt. But it's so fake.
She kind of held her hand. You know, Maria's
it was so like, it was so disingenuous. It was like only after they talked, like, what if Mina said, no, I don't want to do that. She wouldn't have shown affection to little Maria. That's not fair.
I think Mina's a little bit scared of Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, she's one of those scary people. Like, she's one of those Karens where they're kind of quiet and they seem unassuming. But then out of nowhere, they're like,
you would think Mina, the way she talks and she, you know, she wants to, I'm leaving and this and that. And in action, she would act differently. But maybe it's the language barrier. Maybe she cannot say exactly what's on her mind. And Mark kind of told her, like, on the way when they were on the golf carts on the island, because you cannot have cars. Told her, don't call my daughter Snake. You know,
yeah, nice, he was nice like, I don't say, know what so. Is what the word is in French, but here in America, like, it's really nasty when you call someone that. But I think she knew that. I think it's nasty in French too. So, like, it's not meant to be. It's not meant to be something nice. Like,
And because of that, she maybe tamped down a little bit of her aggressiveness. You know, while they were together as a meeting. You know, Mark's family. And apparently Mark's parents are alive and well.
Yeah, what the hell? Wait,
I mean,
so
Mark
wait.
Is 60. How old are the parents? I mean,
I don't know,
must
but
be
his
there.
Brother looked kind of young.
Yeah, forget the brother.
His brother looked like he was in his 40s.
His dad and mom, they were like, they looked like they were in their 70s. How could that be?
I know, I'm like, did they have him at age 10? Like, what the hell? The thing that was concerning, which Mina picked up on, was that Jordan, the second the ferry docked, ran off to rush to the house first. And Mina's right. She was probably there to be like...
To tattletale.
Oh, yeah. She was probably like, I need to get the first word. I'm going to go tell my family and malign everyone against this woman before she shows up. So immature, so tacky.
And Mina called it. She said she's going to talk shit about me. And she was right. And you could see Jordan was like standing in front of the, with, she was talking to the grandma. To her grandma.
Yeah, when they arrived, they were like, whoa, we weren't just talking about you. It was exactly. Like so obvious. Yeah, it was very obvious.
We were talking about the weather and, you know.
But, yeah, it was bad.
Everybody's so, impression, except for the, I mean, when they talked to the grandma, she said, well, when we got to France and, you know, Mina cooked us a very delicious meal and we had a great time and she, you know, stops there. And then when they interviewed the brother, Mark's brother and sister-in-law, they had the same bad impression as Jordan did of Mina. Like she was late to her daughter's baptism like 4 hours. And to be honest, if somebody did that to me, that will stick to my mind forever and ever and ever. I would, not that I would not forgive that person, I would, but it's the impression that you get from that person. And if you're not, if you're that late to an occasion that is for your own daughter, and you don't make it up somehow to that family afterwards, it just, you know, leaves a bad taste in their mouth, you know? And same thing here, you know?
Yeah.
They're not happy with her.
Yeah. So something that I wrote down that I found interesting was that all of Mark's family were like bombarding him about the Paris trip. It tells me that this is the first time they're speaking to him or seeing him since that trip, right. Which if that's the case is like a really big indicator of Mark's relationship with his family, because right. I think that was supposed to be a while ago because Maria's 2 now, right. So if that's the case, are you not close with your family? Because if this is the first time they're talking to you about this,
it, I mean, you know, maybe you're not that close. Talk to him about it, but you know, it wasn't on our, you know, on the screen. They probably said something before. But with Mark being the way he is, you know, it didn't register probably. And now he's listening. He's more focused because Mina is there and Maria's there. And so now he's paying more attention to what they're saying.
I mean, the way they were chomping at the bit, though, to be like, I need to tell you how I feel about all this right now. It was right. Weird. It was like he should have resolved this with them way before.
Exactly.
So that way it doesn't fall on Mina again right. To try to be like, whoa, what do all these people think about me? Like, this shouldn't be a surprise to right. Mark by any means.
And then Jordan had Jordan takes that knife and sticks it right back in. All the way by saying, hey, you guys had a prenup already or what? In front of everybody.
Yeah, it's like that's definitely a conversation you want to have with everyone. What?
I know. It's like such a private topic. You know, you don't discuss it in front of everybody that's there. And Mark turns around and says, yeah, we're going to do a prenup without even talking to Mina about it. I'm sure they didn't talk about it because Mina was like, what's going on here? And she kind of walked away, started crying. It's like, you know, I'm not here for your money. What are you guys talking about? So the knife was back in and Jordan was, you know, as planned.
Yep.
Jordan was doing her bit. But I think, as I said last time, if Jordan will be happy with this marriage, if there's a prenup and she is clear about what she's going to get from her dad once he's gone, then she will act normal. Then she'll be fine with everything else. But if until then, she will keep, you know, attacking Mina and her dad and be the way she is, and that's not going to stop till, you know, they figure out who gets what from, you know, her inheritance from her dad has to be cleared out. Once that happens, then she'll be fine.
I really am curious how much Mark has his name for it to be this
Well, it could be anything. Contentious. What if it's like, you know, anywhere from a few hundred grands to millions, you know? Who doesn't want those few hundred grands, you know? You know, you're getting that money, and with more children, you're going to get less and less of it. Unless there is an agreement, there's a contract that whatever I have gained financially, it's mine prior to this marriage, and that will go to my son and daughter. Did we see the son? We didn't see the son.
Yeah, he wasn't there, I don't think.
Oh, he wasn't there. It was just his brother and his parents, his 100-year-old parents that look like, you know.
They look good if they're 100 years old. Yeah, like
they look like they could live another, I don't know, 30, 40 years. They're fine.
They looked like they were in their, like, maybe late 60s, early 70s.
Exactly. Like, and Mark is like 58 already.
They must be in their 80s, though.
My God. I guess that's the benefit of living in the South. You know.
I don't know.
You're not stressed that much.
Life is slower there.
Maybe. I mean, they live on this, I don't know if they live on the Bald Head Island or if it's just a brother or there's not much stress and you live, you know, amongst nature and enjoy your life more. But the knife is going to stay there until the prenup is taken care of.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or?
No, that's about it.
Move on.
Let's move on to this guy's driving me crazy, Greg. I don't understand what is he doing. It's like he's, you don't have a job, you don't have any pros, you have nothing. He says, you know, he says, oh, I send out resumes. And I'm thinking to myself, I really want to see that resume. What is on there? Did he go to college? Did he work? Did he do anything at all? We don't know anything about this guy. And what could possibly be on that resume? High school diploma and then nothing for, I don't know, 18 years? What kind of, did you ever have a job anywhere? Did you make any kind of money? Or did you just, you know, baked and, you know, cleaned out, you know, dishwashers? And there's a scene that, you know, his mom says, are you guys going to be okay? And by the way, they have these chickens. Like, they have like 18 chickens in the yard.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to have like a permit for that in the middle of a residential in the suburbs? Is that allowed? I didn't know that, you know.
It might not be allowed, but there's a lot of people who do it and they just don't advertise it. But I mean, being on TLC is a pretty big advertisement.
Your neighbors would probably complain at some point because those chickens are not going to be quiet. It just didn't make sense to me. But, you know, he's getting all these eggs, you know, for free. And Joan says, is there any time that we can have one of these chickens for dinner or something? And Greg says, what are you kidding?
People were like, I want to see the standoff between Joan and Renee.
Renee, exactly. Bring Renee back. Yeah. Come on.
Absolutely not.
Right?
Keep her.
And then, his mom says, you guys going to be okay? I'm going to go out for a little bit. And then she leaves. And then they grab each other's. Greg grabs her hand, Joan's hand, says, let's go. They go upstairs and do what they're supposed to do. And then come back. They probably came back down like 10 minutes later. It said 1 hour later.
And yeah, they're trying to find
bathrobe on. And she didn't look too happy. Ew, I don't know what the story was, you know, with her not being happy after that. And she brings up the topic of bride price because she had FaceTime with her family and they were shocked that they're still living with Greg's mom. They brought up, you know, this is, you know, you have to do something. You got to move out or at least tell him, you know, the bride price and see his reaction. And she does. And he's like, she says, the bride price is 15 cows And he says, well, how much are each cows? And she says, it's $200. And he says, so that's like $3,000. And who can pay that?
And Joan says, it was actually more. So I looked up the number she gave, and currently it's closer to like, how much did you say it was for each cow? 200?
She said it was $200 for each cow.
Yeah. Now, I guess now maybe inflation or whatever, it's like close to 400 for each cow now. If you put in the same number into currency converter. Maybe.
Yeah. He says, well, who can pay that? And Joan says, well, a lot of people pay that, you know? It's not like, you know, we're not talking $30,000, just $3,000. And obviously he doesn't have the money, you know, saying all those, you know, trips to Uganda and, you know, their wedding dress and, you know, the wedding itself. And he says, how about we cook the meal ourselves for our wedding? Like, are you insane, man? You refuse jobs and then you suggest you cook the dinner for your wedding? Are you out of your mind?
I know. I think he's very much out of touch. He seemed kind of like angry about it, but he was like, why do I have to pay for this on my own? It's like, it's a dowry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, she's not supposed to pay for it. That's their culture. I don't know why you think that.
Exactly. And it's not like he didn't know about it. He knew about it. He just didn't know the terms and the amount.
Yeah. And also, like, I think, fine, I understand, like, culturally, we don't have dowries or bride prices and stuff like that in America. So maybe people in Uganda save up for things like that. Exactly. And that's why they can pay it.
Right.
But Greg's a freaking deadbeat, bro. Like, get your life together. Turn around. It's within your reach.
Right.
It's not impossible. Like, you've had job offers.
Yeah, at least get it.
Accept that shit. Move on. Exactly. And you know what? I'm glad she put her foot down. And I hope that she, you know, follows through with it. Because she was like, you know, if you decline another job, I'm going back to Uganda.
Yeah, she didn't look too happy. You know, she's just like really upset. And it's like every time we've seen her on the show, she gets more upset at the situation because she's living there longer and longer and she can't stand it. You know, she wants to get out of there. But, you know, this guy can't even clean up his room. There's mess all over the place. His clothes are everywhere and he's playing computer games.
I know. It's quite embarrassing. Who knows? Hopefully he'll turn his life around.
Right. We hope so.
Yeah. Good luck, Greg. All right, moving on.
Good luck with all that.
Who do you want to go to next?
Sean and Aaliyah. I think these were the four that they really went into. I think we saw a little bit of Jessica and Juan. It was the, apparently they filmed at Christmas time and they all dressed up, you know, in the same pattern pajamas. And it was corny. It was okay. And they still talking about, you know, his life before and how his life is going to be like this. And the coming up next, you know, next episode, the friend comes back again. That the friend's still upset about.
She's so weird. I'm scared of her. I don't like her.
What is wrong with this woman? I don't know. They didn't show much of Juan and Jessica, but they did show a whole bunch of Sean and Aaliyah. And it's like they went to meet one of Sean's friends, close friends, at this burger joint bingo place club combination somewhere in LA. So they go and sit outside and they start, you know, talking. And you know, his friend asks Aaliyah. She keeps bringing up Aaliyah's dead name, which used to be Douglas.
Exactly.
And Aaliyah keeps getting more and more upset because the name Douglas keeps, you know, coming up.
Right.
My understanding is that, okay, that's true. You know, you shouldn't do that. But at the same time, when people don't know about something, you need to educate. For example, I have to, as an immigrant, I have to constantly educate people about where I came from, what the traditions are, what the cultures are, what's good to say, what's not good to say. And I don't assume that everybody will know everything about my old culture. To this day, I keep telling people, don't say Iran. It is horrible. Just say Iran. That is a constant struggle. I know her situation is totally different, but you need to educate people because people do not know. I didn't know that, you know, the old name is a dead name and you shouldn't say it because you will be upsetting that person by keep yeah. repeating it. So it's good to educate people, let them know this is hurting me. Don't say it anymore. You know, that's my past. And even at that point, Sean wasn't even, that night that they went out together, he wasn't even saying anything. He didn't know that much about it. So what Aaliyah needs to do is to educate more and more people, and more people will understand and respect her.
I have a completely different perspective on this. I can understand what you're saying, and I respect that. But I was furious. I was like on fire. I was so upset watching the episode back.
Right.
Because, of course, like, there is a certain level of education that is required.
Right.
But you would expect that. This is the thing. Like, I expect a lot from people who belong to any marginalized group. I expect that they're also highly educated about the history of what it's like to belong to a group like that and all of that. And the truth is, people just aren't. So, like, for Sean,
right.
Sean is gay, but Sean is also white. He's also a man, and he's right. also filthy rich.
Right.
And those other identity markers dictate how he acts and how right. he behaves. And if he didn't need to educate himself,
right.
he doesn't. And that's a shame. And I wish more people were more curious about certain things.
Right.
But I was very, very upset because right. Aaliyah did try. Like, the repeated use of a dead name is an intentional challenge to the person that Aaliyah is now. And right. it feels like a slap in the face to her.
Uh-huh.
And she made as clear as she could, I believe, in the conversation with Sean and his friend, and to Sean separately as much as she could, knowing that she doesn't have the power in the situation.
Right.
There's a language barrier. She's in a brand new country. Right. And both Sean and the friend at that dinner or lunch or whatever
right.
completely blew her off. There was no respect in any of their responses.
Right.
And personally, I just think that Sean is in love with who Aaliyah was before.
Mm-hmm.
And not who Aaliyah is, and exactly. doesn't care to. Well, my thoughts changed a little bit by the end of the episode, but in that moment, I was like, Sean's not going to defend Aaliyah because Sean loves who Aaliyah was before Aaliyah came around.
Right.
And Sean just seems like resentful of the fact that Aaliyah has made this change. And they different actually person. Showed footage from what I imagine is from Love in Paradise of Aaliyah literally had a funeral. For her former identity, like, it's very emotionally charged. Too, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So as the episode progressed and Aaliyah was like, it really makes me upset. And Sean was like, well, I don't know how you want me to, refer to you in conversation about prior to Aaliyah.
Right.
Aaliyah was like, it hurts me. You know, I don't like that. And by the end of the episode, Sean kind of gifted her with like a scrapbook that was all celebrating who she is now.
Right.
And I think trying to kind of give that olive branch of like, I'm going to try and whatever. But like, exactly. again, it's like, I'm really doubting this. It's like, why are you in this relationship with this person? And it's going to be an open marriage anyway. Like, what are we doing here?
Exactly. Right.
I don't get it at all.
Yeah. Me neither. I don't know. If he knew that she gets upset if you say the dead name, then he should have told a friend, listen, this is the way she feels. This is the way it is. Do not mention Douglas to her, you know? And he should have educated the friend instead of Aaliyah. Because if you educate one person and you hope that it, goes, you know, passes forward to other people that don't know about it, and they understand it and realize what should and should not be said to that person. I just don't see, just like last time, I didn't see any attraction between the two. I mean, there could be, but they're not showing it. They just look, you know, distant from, you know, emotionally from each other. And I don't know where they're going to go from this point on.
Yeah. Go on.
That's it. That's all I have.
Who else?
That's it. They didn't show Stevie and Maddie this time.
Oh, you're right. That was quick then.
Yeah.
Well.
In the meantime, just keep listening to the new song by Ed Sheeran called Aziza.
Ed Sheeran. You're renaming him?
That's right. And it goes like this. Aziza. Song of the summer, everybody.
Yeah. Enjoy it, you guys. Yeah, as they say.
Hope you join us again next time on another episode of 90 Day React.
Babas and Banter. I love that.
Keep on listening.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Bye, Baba.
Thanks everyone for tuning in. Just a quick note, the opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and do not reflect those of our employers. Our content is for entertainment purposes only and are not meant to cause harm or encourage harassment. Please do not send hate or harass anyone that we discuss. That is not cute. That is not cool. Thank you for listening, and until next time.